This is the story of VNG Corporation. Founded in 2004 by Lee Hong Min as a tiny internet cafe for gamers that swiftly transformed into a technology conglomerate. Their meteoric rise was fraught with challenges against all sorts of international heavyweights. And yet, they would emerge triumphant as a uniquely local enterprise. VNG Corporation would forever change the lives of over 100 million Vietnamese people and birth the new era of ultra-rich tech entrepreneurs. It's early November 2004, and it was business as usual for the offices of Kingsoft. Kingsoft is a traditional PC software company, the original Microsoft of China. Among their offerings are word processing systems like your Microsoft Word. About 3 years before, Kingsoft was teetering on the edge of collapse. It was then that they took a daring leap into the world of gaming. The following years were marked by a series of PC games, culminating in their ambitious entry into the realm of MMORPGs, or massively multiplayer online role-playing games, with JX Online. Their CEO, Lei Jun, was expecting a meeting from a certain Mr. Lee Hong Min. Their initial contact had been an email from Vietnam. It was sent by an enigmatic entity called Vina Games. The message? A proposal to introduce JX Online, Kingsoft's flagship MMORPG, to the thriving gaming market in Vietnam.
Welcome. Have a seat over there.
Mr. Min, Lei Jun started, his voice firm. You piqued my curiosity. What makes you think one of our games would succeed in Vietnam? Min, probably confident and direct, met Lei Jun's gaze. The gaming culture in Vietnam is flourishing, he stated. Your MMORPG, JX Online, has immense potential to captivate Vietnamese gamers. We, Vina Games, as a local gaming company, could be the bridge to introduce your brand to our growing market. Lei Jun scrutinized Min, appreciating his determination. You know, I'll be frank. I don't know a thing about Vietnam. And I don't really know you or Vina Games. But I do know a hustler when I see one. The fact that you came all the way here just to take our game outside of China. Well, I quite admire that.
The meeting was short and brief. Years later, the parties even admitted that they never did any due diligence on one another. But this chance encounter would be pivotal for not just Min and Vina Games, but the whole of Vietnam. Arriving in Vietnam on March 21, 2005, the game would possess the hearts and minds of nearly 20 million Vietnamese. So engaging was the game that connections transcended the digital realm, leading to real-life unions, and eventually, it even captured the government's attention. Concerned by the amount of time citizens were pouring into the virtual world, they intervened, limiting game time by law. At its center was a gaming company turned into an internet monolith named Vina Games, then renamed to VNG, a company that would come to fight off Facebook and forge a truly local path forward for the land of the ascending dragon. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 1 of a 4-part series, A King's Bet.
story of VNG's meteoric rise is deeply intertwined with a daring bet taken by Kingsoft. Born as a passion project in 2004, VNG defied expectations, evolving into a unicorn with a valuation exceeding $1 billion. Amid the COVID pandemic, this figure more than doubled, further solidifying its position in the tech landscape. To investors, the parallels between VNG and Tencent, the Chinese tech titan, are striking. VNG, much like its Chinese counterpart, is the owner of Vietnam's most popular messaging app, Zalo, and is the conduit for a slew of hit games in the country. A dominant 70% of VNG's revenue stream is drawn from its gaming enterprise, with a significant majority of these funds originating from Vietnam. These resemblances are no accident. Tencent once held a stake in VNG, which might explain the uncanny symmetry in their product trajectories. Tencent's social desktop app, QQ, finds its Vietnamese counterpart in VNG's Zing. The Chinese giant's payment solution, WePay, has its echo in VNG's Zalo Pay. By the way, if you're interested, you can check out the story of Tencent in the first episode of Empires. But getting back on track, despite these similarities, VNG is unmistakably a product of Vietnam. Its finely tuned strategy, tailored specifically for its local audience, has shifted perceptions dramatically. Where once the country's youth sought employment overseas, causing a worrying brain drain, today, VNG's sprawling campus attracts the brightest minds. The company's headquarters, spread over an area equivalent to 2.5 football fields and reaching 13 stories into the sky, is a sought-after workplace. However, recent times have not been particularly kind to VNG. A variety of factors, including global recessionary sentiment that battered tech stocks and an internal promotional war leading to significant losses, has seen the company's fortunes wane. At the very core of this dynamic tale of success, ambition, and adversity is a powerful team led by a leader, Le Hongmin. As the founder of VNG, he is often perceived as the godfather of technology startups in Vietnam. His journey, filled with challenges and triumphs, continues to inspire a new generation of innovators, reshaping how 100 million people communicate. Born in 1977, in the aftermath of the Vietnam War, Le Hongmin belonged to a generation that would see their nation through fresh, unscarred eyes. These children, far removed from the grim specter of war, would bear witness to Vietnam's transformative leap into technological advancement, an era of modernization and progress that starkly contrasted with the experiences of their parents. The year Min was born saw a convergence of events, most of all, the introduction of the internet in Vietnam, that would later have a profound impact on Min's life. As a teenager, Min witnessed an array of exciting digital novelties. Nintendo consoles and personal computers made their way into Vietnam, enchanting young minds with their interactive marvels. Like many boys his age, these technological wonders were a revelation, a new world of possibilities that sparked an irresistible fascination, a fascination that would accompany him throughout his adult life. Even as he embarked on a career as an investment banker in one of the first investment banks in Vietnam, Min's passion for gaming remained undimmed. His professional journey, rife with a cutthroat intensity of securing deals and raising capital, imparted a valuable lesson. secure the deal first, then figure out the funding. Little did he know that this would prove indispensable 6 years down the line. Despite the long hours, Min never stopped finding the time to enjoy gaming. In fact, now with more disposable income, he and his friends decided to splurge and fly to Korea, the Mecca for gamers. It was this trip that would shape Min's destiny. October 2002, Daejeon, Korea. A city often relegated to the sidelines by its metropolitan cousin, Seoul, stood poised for a transformative event. The World Cyber Games had arrived, a global spectacle akin to the Olympics, but played out on virtual battlegrounds. The allure of a $300,000 prize purse drew in both the gaming elite and the zealous aficionados from across the globe. Among these impassioned enthusiasts was Lee Hong-min, accompanied by his band of gaming comrades. 6 games would be contested, and among them, StarCraft Brood War stood as a beacon of anticipation for Min. Spawned by Blizzard Entertainment, the game had swept across South Korea, spawning a legion of professional gamers and becoming a cultural phenomenon. Among the top players, 2 names shone bright, Yo Hwan Lim and Jin Ho Hong. Yo Hwan, revered as the Terran Emperor, was a gaming virtuoso, renowned for his unwavering affinity to the human race within the game's cosmos. Jin Ho, on the other hand, was a versatile maestro, demonstrating prowess across multiple races throughout the year. As the battles played out in pixelated grandeur, Min was likely rooted to his seat, his senses enthralled by the nail-biting intensity of the competition. Minutes bled into hours, with every tick of the clock amplifying the tension.
Ladies and gentlemen, Yo Hwan, the Terran Emperor, has done it! Once again, Yo Hwan is the top StarCraft player of 2002.
The announcer's voice boomed across the venue. The ensuing roar from the crowd was a sonic wave of euphoria, shaking the very foundations of the arena. Surrounded by gamers all around, deep within this fast-growing ecosystem, Min might have felt overwhelmed. A profound realization crystallized within him.
Damn, we gotta bring this over to Vietnam.
In the pivotal year of 2003, Min and his group of gaming enthusiasts started a venture in Vietnam, an internet cafe. For the uninitiated, imagine a cafe where the air was chilled and hushed by the hum of air conditioners, filled not with the aroma of coffee, but the electric scent of technology. Lines of computers sat primed for connection, for competition. Each dial-up connection to the World Wide Web was a cacophony of digital noise, like an electronic banshee shrieking its last breath. But enduring the auditory assault was a small price to pay for the reward. An immersive gaming experience shared with friends in real time, punctuated by the refreshing sip of freely flowing beverages. For Min, the venture was as much a hobby as a business. By day, he handled the cafe's operations alongside his friends. By night, he dove headfirst into virtual battles and quests, getting high on his own supply. Their focus initially rested on local area network or LAN games. Popular titles like Counter-Strike, Red Alert, StarCraft, and Warcraft drawing players into their internet cafe.
Target acquired.
But Min started to pick up on a shift in gaming habits. Increasingly, he noticed that players weren't diving into LAN games as much. Internet consumption was on the rise, and peering over players' shoulders, Min spotted an unfamiliar name splashed across their screens. MU Online. MU Online was more than a game. It was a digital frontier that drew in the Vietnamese youth of the 90s. The game, set in a mythical Western fantasy world, allowed players to don the mantle of knights or wizards, engaging in epic battles against dragons and mythical creatures. The game's player base was not limited by the number of seats in a cafe, but rather by the expansive realm of the World Wide Web. As the popularity of online gaming surged, fueled by increasingly affordable and fast internet connections, the sun began to set on the era of LAN cafes. Min felt the seismic shifts beneath them, prompting him to delve deeper into this emerging trend. The roots of MU Online traced back to Webzen, a gaming company hailing from South Korea. In fact, the lion's share of successful online games originated from this gaming mecca. Min's investigative journey led him to a tantalizing conclusion: a return trip to the capital of gaming. Arriving in Korea, Min had a list of 5 Korean gaming companies that he wanted to explore licensing agreements with. It seemed intuitive that by positioning himself as a fan and as a business owner of LAN shops within Vietnam, it would be likely that he could obtain at least 1 gaming license. As the doors of the first company swung open, Min was met with a bustle of activity. Gamers and developers alike darted about, engrossed in their tasks. His heart pounded with anticipation as he moved through the space, senses drinking in the vibrant atmosphere of this gaming utopia. Eventually, he was led to a sleek, minimalist office. A man awaited him, radiating authority. The company representative extended his hand.
"Mr. Min," he greeted warmly, "I understand you have an interest in our games."
Min nodded, attempting to keep his excitement in check.
Yes, I run a LAN shop in Vietnam, and I've observed a strong interest in Korean online games among my customers. I believe a partnership would be beneficial for both of us."
The representative considered Min's proposal, his fingers steepled in thought.
"We recognize the potential in expanding our audience. But you must understand, we have to be strategic in choosing our markets."
Min understood.
"Certainly, Vietnam has a burgeoning gaming culture, and I believe that your games could greatly influence and shape that."
There was a moment of silence before the representative responded.
"While we appreciate your proposal, our current focus is China. It's a larger market with an already established gaming culture. I'm sorry, but at this time, we must decline."
Min took a moment to absorb the rejection, disappointment stinging. But he nodded, understanding.
"Thank you for your time. I respect your decision."
And with that, Min left the company, his resolve unshaken. He had 4 more companies on his list. 1 rejection wouldn't deter him from his mission. Except one by one, everyone rejected him, all singing the same tune.
Strategically
Our market is China.
We think Vietnam is interesting, but China's got a billion in its population.
We're glad to explore the opportunity, but right after China, 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 China.
Hearing the rejections was tough. But Min started realizing something as well. Perhaps China really did have an opportunity. And with an open mind, he returned to Vietnam to discuss with his team. It's the start of October 2004. And back in the LAN cafe, the team decided to have a discussion. While Min's recent trip to Korea had not lived up to expectations, it had revealed crucial insights. The Korean gaming industry seemed singularly obsessed with making inroads into the Chinese market. On the surface, it was an odd preoccupation. After all, the general consensus was that such games could gain traction organically, given an adequate network of distributors. But the intensity with which the Korean companies sought Chinese expansion suggested a battlefield rather than a marketplace. A closer look at the top 20 games unveiled a startling revelation. While Korea was indeed the birthplace of the majority, China had a significant representation. Three games crafted by Chinese developers. Suddenly, the situation crystallized. The Korean companies were indeed at war. For while Chinese developers were few, they had the ability to produce a hit. Possibly still nursing his disappointment from the fruitless Korean endeavor, Min and his team decided to try a different route. They sent out emails to the three Chinese developers, not expecting much in return.
Hey, Min, oi!
Came an excited shout.
We got a reply!
Who's it from?
Min asked, barely daring to hope.
Kingsoft.
And what do they say?
Well, they're interested. If you're willing to fly over for a talk.
Min sat in stunned silence. This was a first. An actual expression of interest from a publisher. Without wasting a second, he reached for his phone, booking the earliest flight to Beijing. An unexpected chapter in their journey was about to unfold. A new adventure on foreign shores. The flight from Vietnam to Beijing takes about 3.5 hours. If you think Min's hustle is commendable, then perhaps you could drop a 5-star review for encouragement. Hear that? Sounds like we've arrived. Conversations in Kingsoft were surprisingly swift. As it turns out, its gaming division was actually a fledgling entity. Less than 3 years old. Structured to explore new opportunities and undertake high risk, this young arm of Kingsoft saw a kindred spirit in Vina Games. Very quickly, Min's conversation changed from if to yes to the terms. But let's slow it down here because the terms need context. Traditionally, a gaming deal has two parts, initial licensing and royalty. The licensing is a fixed cost, an upfront that Min must pay Kingsoft. Given the potentially high cost of licensing, the industry typically allows a 50% licensing upfront payment, followed by the other 50% when launched. Licensing allows Kingsoft to make some money if the game never picks up. But if it does, then they make money on the royalty, an ongoing payment, often scaling with a total number of users. Min was familiar with this. The only question now was if he could afford the license. Nervous, he asked.
So, how much for the licensing?
$160,000.
Min had anticipated a steep figure, but the response set his mind racing. He had never played JX Online, but he knew it was based on the Wuxia universe created by Jin Yong, a novelist whose works had been part of his own childhood. Chances were that many other Vietnamese would resonate with the cultural aspects of the game. He reflected on the success of MU Online, a Western fantasy game. If such a game had found popularity, would a Chinese-themed fantasy game potentially fare even better?
Maybe. But there was one looming obstacle.
His company had only $60,000 in its account. Tapping on his experience as an investment banker, he decided he would lock the deal first and requested to pay a third of the money up front instead of the standard 50%. Surprisingly, Kingsoft agreed. With just under $10,000 remaining, Min was confronted with another daunting task. How exactly do you market a game? As a land shop owner, he was accustomed to seeking out popular games, but actively promoting them was uncharted territory. Suppressing his uncertainty, Min proposed a bold plan to Lei Jun. They needed to get an intimate look at the workings of their gaming studio based in Zhuhai, China. With the last of their funds, Min and his entire team journeyed to China and spent 10 days absorbing the local gaming culture and industry workings. Each day, they met industry insiders, toured markets, and sought advice on running a successful gaming operation. Each night, they reconvened, compared notes, and refined their strategy. Then, with their minds brimming with insights and strategies, they returned to Vietnam. The need for capital was now acute. Having exhausted their funds, Min needed to find resources, not only to pay the remaining licensing fee, but also to implement their newly hatched marketing strategy. Relying on personal contacts, friends, and relatives, they managed to secure $200,000. Soon after, IDG Capital came on board with an additional $300,000, bringing VNG's war chest to $500,000. Separately, two of Min's friends had become the company's loan sales team, tasked with the monumental job of promoting their game from South to North Vietnam. Their mission was twofold. One, to convince internet cafes to offer the game, and to persuade them to help distribute it. This strategy, along with their newfound capital, gave Min hope that they could sustain operations for 3 years, potentially reaching profitability if the game performed well. What they didn't anticipate was that all their bets were going to pay off, then compound together to create a phenomenon. On March 21st, 2005, they launched the game. Within the first 48 hours, a staggering 120,000 accounts were registered for beta testing. Far from a one-off surge, the numbers grew with each passing day. By the end of the third month, the game's distribution had exceeded their wildest expectations, making Vietnam a key market for Kingsoft and enabling Vina Games to achieve its 3-year target in just 3 months. The team could hardly believe it, and with renewed faith, they probably thought that anything was possible. However, as Min would later remark, they had been lucky. In the future, they would record that out of 100 different products launched, only 5 would survive. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 1 of a 4-part series, A King's Bet. Next on Empires, as the internet continues to revolutionize Vietnam, we'll delve into a pivotal hire, Kai, who would help steer Vina Games towards becoming a titan of the internet age through launching the Zing brand. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 2 of our 4-part series, An Amazing Brand. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media, and narrated by Louise Cruz. International research by Sonia, Kuyet, and Jiamin from 1UP Media. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.